Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Always a pleasure. Honest to gosh, it's always a pleasure to hear that voice. I'm telling you, I have not seen Dave Solomon since 2004 when we left Philadelphia, and I miss him so much. We used to hang out for dinner and just linger and laugh and talk. I have known Dave since the 70s, and when I hear his voice, all of that good stuff comes back. Woo! Delightful. Whoa, what a show today. EC3 is with us next hour. He's got an event, Cooking with Gas, this coming weekend. I want you to hear all about it, and we'll dip into It's All About the Rhythm, his brand new CD. Music for you today by some local beloveds, Karenza Gray, Amy Shook, Micah Chevalier. We'll dip into the new album by Terrence Blanchard. We've got a little surprise here and there, some great stuff, artists that have been on the show, and also something I have to pass along to you. I wanted to play a particular song. I haven't played this artist for a while, and I found out after I programmed him into the mix that he is moving away after 10 years in the States. We'll get to all that very shortly on Hybrid Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz. Glorious combination. Woo! Saida Garrett. Oh, I just love to hear that voice. And, of course, we have known that voice through the years. Pretty interesting situation, though, how Saida got together with Schultz, the much-acclaimed saxophonist who you just heard. That is from All Grown Up from last year from Schultz, Got Love. Now, these two have a relationship that goes back to the 90s because of their involvement in the group Brand New Heavies. And apparently, Schultz had something in mind for Saida and he sent it to her, and something got lost in the translation. Schilt thought that maybe there could be something a little bit better if it was geared mainly toward instrumentation. But Saida, because she has so much work going back and forth, doesn't matter. Paul, we'll get together down the line. And they really did. It just is really a nice combination. Saida, just so you know, Grammy award-winning. I think we all know that. Her birthday's coming up on June 24th, the same as my late dad's. I didn't know that. Songwriter of intense reputation. Of course, you know, she co-wrote Man in the Mirror, spent major time with Michael Jackson and Madonna and Quincy Jones. And Saida is going to be part of a very cool situation. She is ongoing in the extended project for Quincy Jones' 80th birthday celebration, which apparently is going to last all year long. He celebrated in March, but that wasn't enough. Now, Schilt, on the other hand, I didn't know this until this morning. The song was already programmed in the past 24, 48 hours or so. And you know, Schilt has this amazing background, work with Nancy Wilson, Mel Torme, Jamiroquai, Down to the Bone, of course, one of the founders of that group, has been in the Los Angeles area for 10 plus years. And now I hear from wife Juliet that they are moving back to the UK. And I wish them well. Of course, a part of us is sad for those of us who live in the States, but that's home turf for the family. So I wonder how the kids are feeling about that. Woo! So yay, Schilt, we'll miss you, but I know that you'll be back and forth, and God knows that you'll always have work. Gracious. And just so you know about Saida, she has a Kickstarter project. She's planning to do a stage play based on Man in the Mirror. And if you go to saidagarrett.com, you'll find out more information. She is a trip. Amy Shook, our Washington, D.C. extended area-based upright jazz bassist. You heard Broken Teeth Blues, Eleanor's Lament from Amy's CD, Nothing to Do, that she did with Felicia Carter. Bob Buddha on piano, and some really good friends that are part of Amy's team as she goes along. And you can always see the team in progress at 49 West Coffee and Wine Bar, happening on Lionel Richie's birthday, which is this Thursday, by the way. And she's also going to be part of the Diva Jazz Orchestra in July. AmyShook.com has more information about that. Also, Ramsey Lewis from 1966, Wade in the Water, the song, the traditional song, and the album of the same name, which included, by the way, Maurice White on drums, in case you didn't know that. And on the album as well, I'm just perusing the album, refreshing my memory about it, because it's been a little while. Message to Michael is on the album. Remember that song by Dionne Warwick, written by the collaborators who loved to work with Dionne at the time, Burt Bacharach and Hal David. And also, Ain't That Peculiar is on it. There is a Grammy Award winner, Hold It Right There. And there's also the Beatles song, Day Tripper. And while we're on the subject of that, happy birthday, Sir Paul McCartney, today. What is he, 73? Oh, my gosh. Meanwhile, Ramsey Lewis turned 78 on May 27th, and he is torn to beat the band, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be with D.D. Bridgewater on several dates. You can go to RamseyLewis.com and find out more about that. Also busy these days, gracious, with a brand new CD, is Terrence Blanchard. We're going to hear the title track from Magnetic in just a couple of seconds. Big reminder, EC3 coming your way at the top of next hour on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Feast your ears. Thank you.
Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is doubt, let us sow faith. Where there is despair, let us sow hope. Where there is sadness, let us sow joy. And where there is darkness, let us sow light. Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled, but yet to console others. Grant that we may not so much seek to be understood, but yet to understand others. Grant that we may not so much seek to be loved, but yet to love others, because it's in giving that we receive. It's in dying to ourselves.
Thank you.
That's our friend Carenza Gray and a delightful project. Oh my gosh, I really like this album. It's called Bliss, and the reason it is, oh my goodness, Carenza and I and a handful or two or three of other folks have some fond memories of a wonderful place, our favorite venue to eat and hear music that was right up the road from us where we live, T and I. It was called Bliss, and it was. The food was magnificent. The entertainment was off the wall. Carenza played there many a time, and she and Drew Davidson wrote a song about their experience of Bliss. This one that you just heard was called These Hands from the CD called Bliss, and Carenza just doing real well. Every time I turn around, she's gigging. CarenzaGray.com has more information. But I just found out that there is a profile created for her via CreativeSoulJazz.com. Eric Copeland, the producer of the CD, I'm sure had a lot to do with this. And if you remember the name Eric Copeland, you might, because when Ronnie Smith was with us a week or so ago, he also produced Ronnie's CD, and of course, Ronnie is thrilled. But if you go to CreativeSoulJazz.com and look up Carenza Gray, you will see some really strong descriptions of Carenza, including comparisons to Ella, Etta, and Aretha. Woo! That's some stuff right there, Hoss. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And of course, this is not coming by any accident, because a few years ago, Carenza won the Billie Holiday Vocal Competition Award in Baltimore, which was really awesome. For a number of years, they had these competitions, and just so sad. It was part of the festivities for Artscape, which is something that had been really anticipated each year, but now Artscape has gotten away from jazz, which is sad. There's no reason for some of us to go anymore, because they not only had the Billie Holiday vocal competition, but they had the Chick Webb competition as well, and that meant that bands from all over the place could vie for that award, and we really love that. And now I don't think they have that anymore either. But anyway, Carenza got hers, and she keeps getting hers, and that's what we like to hear. Good news all the way around. Kendrick Scott and his Oracle. Woo-hoo! That was... The name of the track was Pendulum from the new Kendrick Scott Oracle CD. called Conviction. And Joe Sanders was on bass, Mike Marino on guitar, John Ellis on reeds, and Taylor Eichste on piano. Derek Hodge produced. Amazing. Oh, my God, such amazing music. And you remember, hopefully, Kendrick Scott with us in interview style a few months ago. It was just a pleasure to have him. And I don't know what even to say about Kendrick and this team of musicians that are on this CD other than to tell you that this is the new blood of jazz. And we should be absolutely thrilled. Don't ever fear, as Ron Carter said to us last week, about the state and the future of jazz. It's in such solid hands. Might not be the kind of jazz that you recognize from years heretofore, but that's okay. It's fresh and it's fabulous. And Kendrick is going to be doing his thing with Oracle, I believe, at Blue Whale in Los Angeles and the San Francisco Jazz Festival. Then he's going to be at Montreal Jazz Festival there with Kurt Rosenwinkel. I'd like to see that combination. He is just thrilling, and he needs to take some time off. Young as he is, he's going to be 33 in July, but he needs to slow his fine posterior down for a second or two just to savor all the good things happening around him. Terrence Blanchard can back me up on that, because Kendrick has said that besides his mom, the person whose advice he trusts the most is Terrence Blanchard. Terrence absolutely loves Kendrick and his skills, and Kendrick has been with Terrence a number of times. This particular go-round, yes. I don't know if Kendrick is going to be traveling with Terrence on the road so much now because Oracle is doing so well, but you heard a track from Magnetic, the new TB CD, and Kendrick is on there on his drums, on tenor sax, Bryce Winston, on piano, Fabian Almazan, who's getting a lot of rave reviews, and the 21-year-old bassist named Joshua Crumley. Merciful heavens. This Magnetic CD is getting buzz because it's the return to Blue Note after, what, 8 years? And on the CD as well, besides the personnel that you just heard, Ron Carter, yes, on a few tracks, Robbie Coltrane and Lionel Lukey paying a visit or two. Now, Terrence is coming to the Newport Jazz Festival. If you haven't seen that lineup, oh, my God, it's unbelievable, in August. And then right afterwards, coming to Blues Alley in D.C. So we're really looking forward to that. And Magnetic, just so you're keeping track, is the 19th album from Terrence Blanchard. Good stuff. EC3 coming in less than 20 minutes from now at the top of the hour. Feels like old home week whenever he pays a visit to us, because he's been here a few times. We like that. And we're going to be talking about a particular endeavor. He doesn't even know about this, but something that you should all be aware of as far as independent artists who are playing jazz, and actually more than jazz. It's just so wonderful to be able to give you information about folks who are trying to get a leg up to other folks to make their voices and their instrumentation heard. So anything we can do to support that endeavor is cool by me. Yes! Terry Lynn Carrington, can we please play another track from Mosaic Project? Please. Just love the idea of all female endeavors. When you have something as glorious as this, an award-winning project, duh, no-brainer there. It's just, can words describe it? And I have to say this. In looking for the research for today's show, I found something that, and it involves Terry Lynn Carrington, but she apparently is doing these tremendous tours, shows, not only in the States but around the world. And the wording of one of these tours was, Women on the Rise. Now, you know that some yo-ho wrote this, and he's patting himself on the back for thinking, oh, just so doggone liberal for saying women on the rise. Dude, can I just tell you that women have been playing in jazz and playing on instruments for a very long time? This is not Rhodes Scholar material for you to have the wording of women on the rise. We have been on the rise. We continue to be on the rise. We are the rise. Okay. Terry Lynn Carrington and astounding talent here. This is Mosaic Triad from the Mosaic Project, the Grammy Award winning project on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
my God, what a show off. Oh my God, that track is so fabulous. Ojos de Rijo from It's All About the Rhythm, EC3 and Company. And I wanted to play Alfredo Rodriguez right before EC3 because if EC had heard Alfredo, he would have really enjoyed the whole global unity vibe thing going on, because it's a very similar positive vibration that EC3 is sending out, and especially It's All About the Rhythm. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Naples-born, American-bred, one of those stellar talents that we have in the way of a warm seat here on Hybrid Jazz, because he is a frequent guest. EC3, hey, how are you doing?
I am doing fabulous, Trish. What about yourself?
I am just great. Man, let me ask you something, EC. You know that when you hear that song, because you pretty much heard it in its entirety, and that's a six-minute track, the album it has been out for some months now. Is it still, like, absolutely thrilling for you to hear that?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think for a lot of reasons. I think the biggest trip with that whole recording was that we did not rehearse any of the music. And I'm starting a reputation now for doing that to people, because they always ask me prior to the session, hey, man, send me the music. And I'm always saying, okay, I got you. I'm going to send it to you. And they know now that I'm not going to send it, because I like spontaneity. I like things to happen live and not to have a chance to prepare something at home. And so I like for it to just happen. And with Ojos de Rijo, it was, you know, we never rehearsed it, and we just ran it. And they didn't see it till we got into the studio. And so when I hear it, it sounds like it was very rehearsed and planned, and, you know, and it really wasn't. It was just a natural occurrence, if you will.
Well, you know who did that frequently is Miles Davis. He didn't want the idea of anything other than what was truthful at the time.
Right.
So yeah, you're in good company.
Yeah, very good company.
And also, in seeing the YouTube, you know, some of these artists, especially when they have reached a certain point in their career, they seem to think that it's a good idea to do a YouTube preparatory sort of documentary as to the making of a project. And Kendrick Scott did that for his Conviction CD. And actually, every single one of those young cats talking about how they feel about the project all said the same thing, just as you said. They wanted to have the chance to just play and let the truth of the moment speak for itself.
Yes. And I think with jazz in particular, that's really what we do anyway. And I mean, I'm guilty myself. I've done many sessions, and I'll ask the same thing. Send me the music, because you don't want to get caught off guard with something that's extremely complicated, or you want to try to do your best all the time, and you want to prepare and be ready. So I am guilty of that myself. But I think just, you know, I'm really, really enjoying it the way it is now, and I think I'm just going to keep that as a rule for me. Is, you know, we let happen what happens on the bandstand, let it happen on the bandstand, and let that be. Let's record that.
Well, you know, it's funny. Here's an analogy. Yesterday I had an artist who is going to be on the show in the next month or so. We have never spoken. I found out about him via a friend, and he asked me via message, could you give me a little heads up as to what you're going to ask me for the interview? And it's the same thing as this, EC, because I said to him, honey, let me tell you something. I've been doing this since 1976. I won't hurt you, I promise. We have to keep this real. And here's you. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. First of all, it's in your blood, because Dad was a jazz musician who played tenor sax,
right.
Arranger, composer. You do you do that. And then you went to the you were the youngest student ever to graduate from the Naval Conservatory of Music.
That's correct.
Shoot, you go to L.A. You're playing in beloved Broadway musicals that are in Los Angeles. Loretta Holloway hears you. She hires you. You're with her and music director you become for 12 years. Then Al McKibben gets a hold of you. Billy Higgins, Vincent Falcone, Kevin Tony, Brad Bobo, John Clayton, Harris want you. So it's not as if you just came out of the puppy patch.
No, not at all. A lot of those years were spent underground, if you will. I say underground meaning the orchestra pit in Vegas, reading shows and working shows. So I did that for quite a few years. And then that, you know, that's when you run into the problem of when it's not jazz, then you're for the most part, you're playing the same show every night. And it's just like you said with wanting to interview a guest. Imagine interviewing people asking the exact same questions to every guest, every day. That gets insane. And doing the shows, I mean, doing shows is great. I love it. I really, really loved it in my days. And now, you know, it just got a little old for me. And of course, they put a lot of the shows on recorded music now and fired live musicians. That definitely happened and sort of wiped Vegas out. But I've been doing it a long time, left the orchestra pit, and was very fortunate to hook up with Billy Higgins, and that was a great, great treat. He was a very dear friend. And then hooked up with Al McKibben, and I actually lived with Al McKibben 5 years, not 3 years,
yeah.
It was 5 years, and we lived together doing a show. And so that was my greatest learning experience in my career was living with Al McKibben. And for those who don't know Al McKibben, just Google him, and you'll see he was with the Giants of Jazz, the Thelonious Monk, and Dizzy Gillespie, amongst a bunch of them. He's one of the greatest bass players ever.
Yeah, and was it true that when you were working with Al, because you did consider him to be like a father figure in your life.
Oh, God, yes.
That must have been a beautiful scenario, but weren't you doing like 18 shows a week?
Yeah, we did three shows a night, six shows. We did three shows a day, six nights a week, so 18 shows a week, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
For five years. And all of this gets said to be able to say to anyone listening live or in the archives, when you have deemed it necessary for musicians to come and play with you in a recorded atmosphere, it is your right to demand authenticity.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yep. Wow, that's really something. So you're acquiring that reputation, huh? Oh, yeah. Send us some music, but it's not going to come.
I had a rehearsal. I just did a rehearsal just yesterday, and there's a young lady from Peru who sings, and we do the salsa and merengue stuff, and she's been asking me for weeks, EC, send me the music. And the last thing she said to me, of course I didn't send it, but about 4 days ago she said, "Okay, EC, we're 3 days away from the session. Just tell me if you're not going to send it. Just so I don't keep looking." I said, "Don't keep looking. I'm not going to send it." I mean, I just can't do it. I try to do it, but I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And that's why I try to pick cats that I know can cover it without any problem. And it so far has been very successful. So I'm gonna stay with that premise.
Oh my gosh! And one of the gentlemen that you had the amazing Janelle Gill on piano for some of the songs.
Oh
my
phenomenal.
God!
Janelle is. I have three different pianists that I work with, and three different pianists that recorded on this last record. It's all about
yes.
And the great thing about that is each one brings something unique. Janelle is just she is a phenomenal pianist. I mean she has so much to offer to the world, and it's just coming. She's getting stronger and stronger, and I truly anticipate huge things from Janelle. I mean, she really is that good of a pianist.
She has, and sometimes you can't articulate what somebody has, but she has sensitivity, she has strength, and she has clarity. She is very in tune with you.
Yeah, we just it was just a chemistry, and with recording between me and Janelle and Michael Bowie.
Michael Bowie.
It was just magical. Oh, it was just magical. I mean, and you know, and Michael, me and Michael, we met in the studio. I'd heard of him, of course, you know, and he had heard some things about me, but we had never played together. And we met in the studio. I remember him walking into the booth when I was doing a playback, listening. And I didn't know who he was, and so I, because it was dark in the sound booth, and I walked past him. I go, excuse me. I said, you know, can I help you? And he goes, Michael Bowie. And I go, oh man, I'm sorry. I was like, well, we've been going strong all day. I'm sorry. We shook hands. He went in his booth. I went back out to the main room. We started hitting, and it was just magic. And the reason I knew with somebody like Michael and his background, the reason I knew the music was killing so much in the studio is because as we're playing, I can see him through the glass, and the whole time he's playing, he's dancing.
Ah!
So that is the greatest compliment that you can get when you have a rhythm section that's dancing while they're playing. That tells you it's on point. And we did a track, and we took the track off, and we just started laughing. And Michael gave me a thumbs up. He goes, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be like. And from then on, the rest of the session was just killing. It was a great, great record session.
And see, you and Michael are so much alike in your mindset, EC, because part of the reason why I appreciate you is because I know that you have very strong opinions about jazz, but you were born in Italy. And because you were, you have a feel for what is global. You have a love for music that is beyond the United States. And you and Michael must have just went boing when you met, because with his group, Sine Qua Non, he is trying to, you know, enhance the vision of jazz from every pocket of the world. And you do that too.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just life experiences and travel. And Michael's been all over the world. Michael's been all over the world, and I've been fortunate to be to have traveled the world myself.
Yes.
And one thing about Michael, though, there's a trip. He's a funny cat, because he's very serious, and he has a way of taking over the session. And I say that to say, where this was my record, and I'd never met him, and about two or three songs into it, he starts making these suggestions, saying things like, hold on, why don't we start at letter D, and why don't we do this, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this is my session. And then I listen to what he just said, and then I'm thinking to myself, yeah, let's do what Michael just said. Let's start at letter D, and, I mean, he was dead on point. He did it the whole session, but he was dead right. You know, and that was just his leadership skill to come in. And because of his melodic and harmonic knowledge, you know, he really, really had a great knowledge of how to take the music. And I sat back and smiled and said, okay, this is what I'm talking about. This is when all the pieces of the puzzle come together, you make magic. And that's what we made.
Oh, you definitely did. And you have people around you, including Michael, who I know probably the most from those wonderful players that you had in the studio. He is coming from such a place of love. He really wants to make sure that you shine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt.
It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
Yeah, Michael, he's incredible. He's a great player. Every time we play together, it's magic. So I have a lot of respect for him.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you this, because people don't know this about you. And I'm thinking about Chris Bodie, because Chris does not have a home to call his own, actually. He's just traveling all the time. And you remind me a little of that, because you are back and forth to D.C. a lot.
I don't have a home. I really don't. And for a lot of different reasons. I mean, a lot of it is the schedule and traveling. And right now, you know, I'm actually at peace, believe it or not, living like this. And I never thought I would. I've always been the person that, you know, always had the steady house and the cars and but that now, you know, that's kind of gone from me. I'm okay. I'm just kind of riding the music right now. And I'm really enjoying the ride. So being bi-coastal and going back and forth and hopping all over the place, it really, really feels good for me to do that. So I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Well, because, gosh, it must be such a heady experience for you to have felt, and this is the word I'm going to use because I know that you'll understand, you must have felt confined for a long time doing the same shows. So
yeah,
now you get to spread your wings and fly, and
yeah,
these magical events come to pass, and people are blown away going, what just happened here?
it's sort of a double-edged sword because you get caught up when you're doing the shows. You get caught up in the money, and it's really good money. And you're making this really, really, really good money, but you're out of pocket. And when I did the show with Al McKibben, when you're working six nights a week, three shows a night, you really have no time to do anything else. We had one night off, which was Monday. Monday was the only day we had off. And that was the day that you could kind of try to do whatever little personal stuff you might need to do, because during the week you're just totally locked in, but the money was so good. But with that show, because of my learning experience of living with Al McKibben, it made it all worthwhile. We could have done seven nights a week and I would have been fine. I mean, I learned so much from him, and me and him personally became so close. But it didn't start off like that, Trish. He hated me in the beginning.
He did?
I mean, it was like every night for the first week, we'd be playing, and I'd look over there, and he was frowning. And I kept saying, what is this man frowning about? So I remember going up to him and saying, Mr. McKibben, after about the first week, I said, and at this time, Al was about 72. So I went up to him, and I said, Mr. McKibben, I said, I see you keep frowning every night. Is there a problem? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, you're the problem. And that's exactly how he said it. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, really. And I said, well, what am I doing? He said, you play like, and I'm going to put it, because we're on air, I'll put it nicely. He said, you play like those young cats. And I said, well, I am young. He goes, yeah, and you sound like it. And I said, well, what does that mean? So, oh, yeah, definitely. He reminded me so much of your interview that I listened to last week when you interviewed Mr. Ron Carter.
They oh, my
that
God,
same
yes.
Dry, the same dry, to the point, kind of catch you off guard a little bit, you know, and if you're not careful, it can almost make you defensive, especially when you were as young as I was then. I got very defensive with him. I was like, yeah, I don't play like those old guys, and I don't do that, and I don't. And he goes, okay, well, get out of my face then. And I walked off, and I was cursing him out in my head, in my mind, and then I went and I picked up some history books that I was at the library the next day, and I knew who I was, but I didn't know the depth of him, so I started reading up on him. And I was so embarrassed after I read all that stuff, and I go, oh, my God. And I went right back to him, and I said, Mr. McKibben, I want to apologize. He goes, oh, I knew you would. And I said, well, how did you know?
Wow.
Because I know you want to play this music. And we started talking, and
he
said, so I said, well, tell me what you're – and I had to humble myself. And I did. I humbled myself. And I said, Mr. McKibben, would you please show me what you're talking about? And he started showing me things. And I said, wow, I said, we really don't play like that, but I'm going to do it. But, Trish, when I started doing what he was telling me to do and when it started to click, and this show was based around a brothel in New Orleans, so it was all these dancers, and when we clicked with what he told me to do, the best word I can – it was orgasmic. It was the best feeling.
Yes.
Best feeling. I'm serious. I've never had that feeling to this day, that when I played with him and it clicked, and when I did it and it locked in, he got off of that stool that he's played. He has a huge bass that he played. He got off of his stool in the middle of the show and got right in my ear and said, that's what I'm talking about, you. And I can't use the words that he used because that's the way he expressed himself. That's exactly what he said to me. And from that day on, we became the best of friends, and we would sit up every night after. I'm serious, every night. He would put on this little blue robe and cook chicken and cook shrimp, and we'd sit up and talk and eat all night long and just talk about all of his experiences, you know, just everybody he's played with, from Billie Holiday to Satchmo, you know, to Sarah Vaughan, to Monk, just everybody. Best experience of my life.
Oh, my God. If you had not taken the time to do some research and didn't care, you would have been just a young punk who didn't learn something fabulous. Wow.
I would have been a fool. I would have been a fool. Because we have to learn, and I try to tell young cats that now. There's times that you have to shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Put your ego away. Because it's not about how fast you can play and you have all this technique. And all. When it comes to jazz, you can have all of that because all those degrees, you can have your master's, your doctorate, you can have all of that stuff. But all of that goes out the window when you get on that bandstand. Nobody cares what kind of degree you have. It makes no difference at all.
That's right. You know, that reminds me, it's so funny how things just thought and word association. Saw an old rerun of NCIS the other day, and, you know, Jethro in that show always has these rules. And rule number 51 is, sometimes you're wrong.
And in my case, Trish, a lot of times I was wrong.
Oh, jeez.
A lot of times. You have to humble yourself sometimes. You know, there's a young lady right now that I just produced her record. Her name is Stephanie Rebecca out of Ketchikan, Alaska. And I went to Alaska with her, and we had a wonderful show. She's got a killing CD out. I produced the CD, and, I mean, the band is killing, is swinging. She's a young girl. She's in her 20s, and, you know, and I have to relay that to her, that you're young, because she wants to just jump out there and really, really get started. And it's like, you have to pay dues with this music. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a quick, you know, it's not a quick fix. There's so many elements that go into playing jazz. It's so much involved with that, and that's what I try to tell people. And I know that you remember when I was angry on Facebook one time, and because I get angry because I see these, you know, I'm not putting down R&B singers. I love R&B. I grew up playing funk and R&B, so I love that. But we have to call it what it is, though. But when you have R&B singers and they get up on stage and there's a two-bar vamp over the same changes over and over, and they start going goo goo ga ga doo doo da da, and then they go, oh, I was scatting. That's not scatting. There's an art to scatting. That's not jazz. That's not, you know. And so I have my rant sometimes when that drives me nuts, you know, because if you want to hear scatting, you have to go listen to Ella, and you have to listen to Sarah. You have to study that music. It's not just going goo goo ga ga. That's not scatting. You know, and so I'm getting hot to even say that right now. It just bothers me.
Well, okay. So I guess it's not a good idea then to have an addendum thought to that, which is that you have probably seen some of these jazz festivals that call themselves jazz festivals, the headliners are Kem and Ledisi. Hello?
Exactly, and I like these cats. You know, if that's fine, who they are, and you know, they even have Jeffrey Osborne on jazz festivals. I don't understand that.
No, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Jeffrey Osborne belongs there because when Jeffrey was on this show a few months ago, I was absolutely riveted by what he said. And it was the most heartfelt thing, I think, that I have heard somebody say in quite a long time, EC, no joke.
Really?
When he was growing up in Providence, Rhode Island, this is what Dad and Mom had in the house. Hardcore jazz, instrumentation, vocalization. He is back, and this is, you know, a CD produced by George Duke, A Time to Love. Jeffrey Osborne is back doing what he loves to do most.
I didn't know that. Because I'm a Jeffrey Osborne fan with his old school. I love what he does. I've never heard him do anything other than that, though.
Wait till you hear him do these jazz standards. You thought you were orgasmic before.
Okay, I'll hear it today. I will find him. I promise you, I will find it today. I love Osborne. I think he has a great singer.
Oh, my God. And George and Jeffrey and Dwight Sills
were
at the Playboy
George
Jazz.
Anything is magic. So, yeah.
You
if
know
George
that.
Duke touched it, of course it's magic.
Yes. So, believe me, they were in hog heaven playing with each other because George just loves it. As long as people leave him alone with putting him in classifications, he's okay.
You know what? Did I learn something else today? I'm glad. That's why I like talking to you, Trish. It's always educational. I always get a lesson.
Sometimes, honey, it's like an edumacation.
I'll take it. I learned something else. And, you know, the other exciting news is I'm coming to your city, Trish. I'm very excited.
I know.
I'm very excited about coming to Baltimore.
I know you are. And I'm psyched because this is like the first stage show in Baltimore, correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I can't wait. I'm coming. I'm actually going to be there. I'm coming there Thursday to do a show, a radio show there. And then Friday, I have an all-day rehearsal at the Gordon Center, which is an all-day thing, like 12 to 10 or something, all day. And then the show is actually, then I'm doing a show, the Slantress Music Awards. I'm doing that show on Saturday, which I'm the musical director for it, and the band is phenomenal with that. We're killing for that show.
Sure.
And then Sunday is my personal show at Germano's. So very, very excited about coming to Baltimore.
Oh, my God. Listen, you know, and there's a whole lot we can say, and I want to say it. And let's talk more about this specifically because this is pretty exciting. This is the reason why you're stopping by today. But I want to make sure that we play another track from It's All About the Rhythm because
sure.
We did not play this last time.
Right, right.
And this song is a song that means a lot to a lot of people because I'm interested in hearing the reasoning why you chose this song because this is a Carpenter song.
Oh, yeah. I'll be happy to explain after we listen.
Okay. And let us give a listen to this because this is, speaking of heartfelt, from EC3 and his cast of glorious characters, great musicianship, Close to You from It's All About the Rhythm on Hybrid Jazz. That is so delicious. From It's All About the Rhythm, that's EC3 and Company, including Dr. Garcia on piano.
Yes, he's from Caracas, Venezuela.
Man, that was
Trish, the reason I recorded that particular song, the one thing that I hope I get to do at some point, I would really, really love to work with Burt Bacharach. I think he is one of the greatest composers of all time. He's one of them. And I just have the utmost respect for his melodies. I think his melodies are beautiful, and I've just always had a thing about his music. Ever since I was a little boy, I was listening to him, you know, as I was growing up. And that song, Close to You, it just has a lot of meaning. It's just a beautiful, beautiful melody.
When that song came out, we all thought that Karen Carpenter was an angel because that voice, it just captured the essence of that song so much. And it just remains one of those songs when you hear it. And even with that version, EC, honestly, you just stop what you're doing and everything
that's
comes
Melvin
back.
Melvin Jones on trumpet, by the way. Melvin Jones
Beautiful.
Is being featured on that. Melvin's a bad cat out of Atlanta right now. He's one of the up-and-coming greats on trumpet. He's a really, really good trumpet player.
Oh, let me tell you, I know about Melvin because of Tracy Hamlin. Melvin did a version with Tracy of Good Morning Heartache. You can imagine trumpet on that song. Yeah.
I can imagine. Melvin is a beautiful cat. He's a very good person, and we had a blast recording that. It was wonderful.
Oh, it's just great. And it's so funny. There seems to be a synchronicity in this show. In planning it, you just don't know how one element is going to fit with another. The first song I played today was Ramsey Lewis from 66, Wade in the Water. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Now, look, on that album, Ramsey did a version of the Burt Bacharach Hal David song, Message to Michael. You remember that?
Sure. That's a great. Oh, of course I know it. Yeah. I know everything.
Wow.
Done. That's a great. Yeah, that's a great song. That's a great song.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is.
I
do too. And God knows that man has been through a lot in his life. And I'm just really glad that he's still with us. Hal David, of course, we lost a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And that's.
Just like the melody, and I know you'll agree. One of the most beautiful melodies also written was or is Alfie. Yeah,
God!
Beautiful melody. Yeah.
Oh.
It's weird because
look,
being a drummer, you don't really expect most drummer. But I think I'm a romantic at heart, number one, and
yes.
I just have a sensitivity towards beautiful melodies. I love beautiful melodies.
And I have to say this, part of the reason why that song sold itself, of course Burt Bacharach and Hal David were the consummate storytellers in song, but you have a voice like Dionne Warwick selling that song? Oh,
yes.
Sweet Mary. Wow.
You and your sweet Marys, you are hilarious.
Dionne Warwick, and speaking of Message to Michael, and Walk On By, all of those.
Oh,
I'm getting chills talking about it.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah. I'm going to record that, too, as a matter of fact. That's the next record that I plan on doing. I plan on using live strings. That's one thing I haven't done yet. I have not done that yet, but that's in the making right now. And Walk On By and a few other beautiful songs is definitely on the plate for that.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that because that will gel so well. You're so used to that because having been in Vegas all those years, you were surrounded by all of that.
I did a lot of stuff with the symphony. Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. I was actually conducting a lot of times the symphony from behind the drums, which is almost unheard of. But
how is that possible?
I know. It wasn't even a plan. They always had a conductor. But what would happen is, because of the music I was doing with Loretta, because of the style of the music, most of the conductors were European and very stiff, and they really couldn't feel rhythmically. They couldn't interpret those rhythms like they needed to be interpreted. So they would constantly be staring directly at me, and I would just be dictating with all kind of body language what's supposed to happen with the rhythm. And it worked, and we stuck with it. And I did that many, many a time from behind the drums, actually would conduct the symphony. And it would be like a 32-piece orchestra. And the music would be beautiful, and all eyes would be on me versus the conductor. You know, and I would really have to almost overplay to compensate so the band would know exactly where things were coming. And it worked. So I was very happy to be able to do that.
Well, I guess if you are in a position where you are going to be doing shows with Bill Cosby and Whoopi Goldberg and Jay Leno, you sort of feel comfortable in playing with different kinds of people.
Yeah, we did all those shows. Jay Leno, all those people, very, very nice, very, very nice people. Jay Leno, we had already done about three of his shows in the past, and I ran into him in the elevator in Atlantic City at the hotel that we were working at. He goes, "You're the guy behind the drums." And I go, "Yeah, Jay, I am Mr. Leno." I said, "Yeah, I am." He goes, "Well, what are you doing down here at 4:30 in the morning?" I said, "Well, they didn't send me a car to take me from Atlantic City to the airport." And he goes, "Well, you see that big double stretch out there in the parking lot?" He goes, "That's mine. If you don't mind riding in that big old thing, you're more than welcome to ride with me to the airport." And
that's
I was a little hesitant because I didn't want to. I was like, "Are you sure?" He goes, "Man, please." He goes, "I don't know why they keep sending me these big cars." And he said, "It's not like my family's with me. It's just me." He said, "The only thing is, if you ride with me, you got to stop at this 24-hour pizza joint in Atlantic City and grab a slice of pizza with me on the way. That's the only things you got to do. If you do that, you can ride to the airport." And that's exactly what we did. We went, got some pizza, and rode to the airport in Philly and talked the whole ride. And it was a wonderful conversation.
Wow.
Very nice cat. Very, 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 very nice guy.
Well, you know what? This is something I was going to throw in, because there was a certain kind of mix. Before you came to join me on the show today, I played Alfredo Rodriguez and Terry Lynn Carrington. And Lynn, of course, was the house drummer for Arsenio Hall. I'm wondering how Jay Leno's going to feel about this. Not that Jay is really worried at this point, because the future is etched in stone for him, but Arsenio Hall is going to have a new show in the fall.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that he's doing a little commercial about that.
Is he?
Yeah, it's being sent on TV.
Okay.
They say coming in the fall or something, the Arsenio show. Yeah, he's done it. It's been out probably a couple of months now that they've been showing that.
I did not know that they were showing the commercial, because I thought for some reason.
It only shows him. It just shows him. You know, he's in front of the camera, nothing else. It doesn't say what kind of show. It doesn't say who's going to be with. All he says is, I'm coming back or something to nighttime TV in the fall, something like that, and then it goes off. But I know I've seen it at least six or seven times.
You know what? Maybe he'll have Jay Leno as a guest on his show, and maybe they'll do some collaborating.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be a trip. I'd like to see that.
Well, it's good that you pointed out that Jay was a nice guy, because you know you hear mixed things through the years, and
right.
I guess
he was very nice to me. That's all I can. That's all I can say. Very
that's
nice
right.
to me. And Whoopi the same. Whoopi very very nice.
I love
her. Couldn't have been any kinder, actually. And when
she
I was working with her,
wonderful.
She had just bought her. She had just bought her first airplane. And I remember being in the dressing room with her, and Loretta came in, and Loretta goes, "So are you going to hang out after the show?" And Whoopi goes, "No, I got to get out of here. I'm going to fly back to L.A. tonight." And it was already about midnight. So Loretta goes, "I don't think they have any flights this late, do they, Whoopi?" And she goes, "Oh, well, no, they don't, but I do." She said, I just bought a plane. We were like, oh,
she
okay.
is
just,
something
and
else.
But
oh
she said, she wasn't bragging either. It wasn't like boisterous. She said, the reason she bought her plane was because she gets profusely sick, airsick, when she flies. And she got tired of being in the midst of everybody watching her get sick the entire flight, so she bought a plane so she could throw up on her own time and not have to be bothered with anybody.
Bless
her heart.
That's exactly
what she said. That's exactly why I bought a plane, so I can get sick and nobody has to see it.
Oh,
it must be nice
gosh.
To buy a plane so you can be sick and no one see it. That must be nice.
And you know what? Thank God she had the means to be able to do that, because
exactly right.
Whoa, that's really something.
She wasn't bragging at all. You know, she was just as,
exactly.
You know, just as matter of fact about it.
Oh, well, you know how it would be. Can you imagine? I mean, life is a goldfish bowl anyway for these folks, and every little move is scrutinized. So
yes.
How horrible must that have been to be sick and have somebody go, oh, look, Whoopi's throwing up.
Oh, of course. I don't.
Yeah.
I honestly, I mean, you know, I think that's great. She could afford to do it.
Absolutely.
She said she's sick the entire flight. That's what she told me. She said the time that she gets on the plane, she starts. And I don't know. Now, again, that's been years ago. Maybe she's gotten past it now. I have no idea. But that's exactly what she told me.
Oh, I don't think so. I'll bet you not. Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt.
Because
yeah, but yeah, those are great people to work for. It was you know, we did. I mean, we opened for them, but you get a chance to kind of get to know them personally, and they were very, very, very nice people.
That's really awesome to know.
Yeah.
Before I say anything else, I want to say this to you because this is going to be helpful to you. My friend Griselda pointed this out to me. I pass this along to you. There is an organization. It's especially for independent artists. It's a way for independent artists to make sure that they're heard where they're going to play. It's a website called iTrack.com, Independent Artist Festivals. That's what it stands for. And you go there and you're a part of this assembly of talent so that more people are aware of where you're going to play and who you're all about. I wanted you to know that.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, sure. Thank you
yeah.
so much for that.
You are so
always,
welcome.
You, always helpful, sure. Yeah.
Oh, listen, any time that we can put money in all of our coffers, we who love jazz and we who want to make sure that we're still working and we're able to play it, we got to support
right.
one another as much as possible.
Well, let me say this to you, Trish. I've been very fortunate to have an opportunity to interview with a lot of people. I do a lot of interviews every week. I've been very, very fortunate to be able to do that, and I'm very humbled by that. But you, out of all the people that I've interviewed with to date, you blow me away because you can tell how excited you actually sound like a kid sometimes. You get so excited about the music. You get, just like you did with Hal David and Bacharach when you started talking about Walk On, you know, and you've been doing this for so long, but you still have that same passion that you probably had when you very first started, and that's real special, and that's why I even said when you were going to interview Mr. Ron Carter, you know, I mean, I was like, you're very welcoming, and you make it very easy, extremely
well.
Supportive. So for people like myself, I just want to thank you again for all of the support and love that you have shown because it really, really has helped tremendously. So thank you.
Oh, bless your heart, EC. Thank you so much. I know you do, and it's easy to do, seriously, because with you, because you are so talented and you've really paid so many dues, and some of those dues we can't even speak of on the air because they get into another kind of not necessarily positive scenario to color or depict. But you have really been in the trenches, and you are now collecting all of what you need to collect, all of what you deserve to collect right now, because people are seeing this full fruition of talent. Look, if you were any less of an artist, I wouldn't be so enthused, but it's you. So you will always have you'll have a warm seat for as long as you want next to me here.
I will take you up on that warm seat too.
I know you will.
You know I will. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. I look forward to looking out, seeing your beautiful, smiling face in the audience.
Well, and as long as we're on that subject, you know that the whole story is on my timeline photo on Facebook. It's all about the rhythm tour.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Well,
everybody doesn't do those kind of things, Trish. That is, like, extremely special.
Well, Thank you. It's because it's you, and we just have to make sure that the people get the word. Because, look, if folks are not paying attention, they don't necessarily know. This is an ADD world that we're living in. It really is.
Oh, I know. And I know nothing about Baltimore. This is my first time coming to Baltimore. So, you know, a couple of radio things, a couple of interviews I'm doing, and I did one last night. Hopefully I can get to. I know if I can get the people in there one time, I got them. So I just need to get them in there one time, and I'm good.
Well, lest folks do not know, this is Germano's Trattoria, where you're going to be on Sunday at 7:30 to 9 o'clock. This place, if you have never been there, very easy to get to on South High Street in the middle of Little Italy. First, let me say something about Little Italy. There are people in the neighborhood who patrol. It's a very safe environment. The food at Germano's is off the freaking chain. Number two. Number three, the venue is so intimate. It's warm. It's inviting. You feel like you're in somebody's home. There's no doubt that you are going
to
sell.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You.
I love
this
to perform when it's up close and personal like that. Yeah, that's the best.
You're going to love it. You are going to love it, and they're going to want you to come back time and time again. And it's only a $20 cover. That's ridiculous. So, people, you need to get on it. You have to reserve tables in advance. And if you need the number, message me through Facebook, because if I give it to you here, you're not going to remember. So. You just go to Facebook and you message me. It's clearly on my timeline. Just punch in the picture and there it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to meeting the people of Baltimore, and it's worth it just coming to see you, Trish. I'll be happy to see you in the audience. I'll be good.
That is so sweet. And how did you get involved with the Cilantro's music director situation?
Well, you know what? The young lady that owns Cilantro's, the CEO, her name is Deborah Bynum Billups. Deborah Bynum, she's a wonderful lady who came to Atlanta with Yolanda Bell to one of my shows.
Oh,
when Yolanda.
Yolanda
was coming to take pictures. Yolanda came and photographed one of my shows, and she brought Deborah with her. And after Deborah saw the show, Deborah pulled me to the side and she goes, EC, I've got this big show coming to Baltimore. Can I talk you into being the musical director for the show? And I said, I would love to. And I looked up Cilantro's magazine, and it's a women's professional magazine. I was impressed with Deborah. I mean, Deborah's a very sharp lady, very, very sharp lady. And I was just impressed with the whole package. And then we talked about, now I write a jazz column, which I didn't even tell you, Trish. Trish, I write a jazz column for the magazine, a quarterly jazz column, and it's called
That's
The Jazz
awesome.
Slant with EC3.
Ah!
So I just started doing that for them. Yeah. So I interviewed Sharon Clark for this month's edition, which I haven't even, the vocalist Sharon Clark, who's a great jazz vocalist in the D.C. area. She is a phenomenal jazz singer in the D.C. area.
Yes.
And I interviewed her for June's edition of the magazine. So it just kind of one of those things where, you know, the pieces kind of fell in place. And just like I got to you from Yolanda Bell, she's the one that introduced me to you. Yolanda also introduced me to Cilantro's magazine and Deborah Billups. Same deal.
Well, let me say this about Yolanda. She got her reward for doing good in these circumstances because she's now living in Los Angeles and her photography business is doing great.
Yeah, she deserves it.
She deserves
it. She's one of the sweetest.
Absolutely.
She's one of the sweetest ladies I've ever met. She's one of the. Her spirit is so. She's just a very sweet lady.
And you know what? Like so many people who are kind and giving. She has been trampled a few times, and she has risen like a phoenix. And for all the folks who have tried to get her to do free stuff and made use of her talent in the wrong way, she is proving to everybody that when you have good motivation, you always rise.
That's right. That's right. She deserves everything she's getting.
She surely does,
and
so
good.
Do
but
you.
Yeah, so that's how that happened, and I'm really enjoying doing the jazz column. I mean, I have.
That's great.
It's totally up to me. I can write about whatever I want to write about. I mean, it's great, and interviewing great people that are in the industry. Like I said, I've only done, what, two articles now. So, you know, for me, I'm a last-minute person. I don't even plan who I'm going to talk about or what I'm going to talk about, just like I do with music, until I get close to getting on the stage, until close to the deadline. And then I decide, okay, this is what I'm going to write about. So, same deal. I have nothing about for the next quarter.
Well, now, let me ask you this. Is Slantress a national publication, or is it based regionally and they like to focus on regional artists?
No, it's national. It's not, it's,
okay.
It's, like I said, it's only their first year. They're based in Baltimore. The young lady that started it, she's based in Baltimore. I think now you've only been able to get the magazine online, but I think they're changing that now. And again, I hate to speak with stuff that I'm not 100% sure of, but I think they're changing it now so that you'll be able to get the magazine some other kind of way. I'm not sure if it's going to be, I don't even know, other than online. I forgot what she was telling me they're going to do. But no, it's a nationally based magazine. And even to the show,
wow,
they've got people coming for the Slantress Awards show. They've got people coming from California, from New York, from Texas, all over the world. I mean, you know, nationwide, people are coming in that are recipients of the Slantress Award, which are, you know, they got young people coming in. They've got the Little Miss Slantress Award show. It's all this stuff. Yeah, it's great. Even one of the articles I wrote,
cool,
was they did a children's edition of the magazine, and so Debbie had me write an article, and the article was about trying to introduce jazz to young people, you know, and
wow,
I had a chance to interview a lot of young people and ask them about different jazz artists, and did they know who Count Basie was, had they ever heard of Duke Ellington, and things like that, to the young people, to try to get them involved at an early age in jazz. Before their minds get corrupted with that craziness that they listen to all the time. unfortunately, I'm sorry, but a lot of that stuff is very negative. A lot of it is.
I hear you.
Yeah, it really. I mean, I heard two young girls yesterday walking down the street. They couldn't have been in there. They had to have been 12, 13 years old. And I guess they were singing some song this out. And I can't even tell you the lyrics, I promise you. These were two young girls. And the lyrics they were singing almost made me push on the brakes and go, you got to be kidding me, to see them that young singing those kind of lyrics.
Well,
so
EC,
it's great to catch them before they hear all that mess.
You're a dad, and I'm a mom,
I am.
It's
That's
up
right.
to us. And belated Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. But we have a responsibility. We can't support crap like that. So we can't let it get into their hands from our pocketbook. It's plain and simple.
I know.
You know, you are preaching to the choir here, baby.
I'm telling you. I'm really gets me in. So that's why I told you before. You know, I really, really want to try to take, you know, a small jazz quartet into the inner city schools where they have no funding for music, where they've taken instruments out of the school, and let some of these young kids hear us perform live and then do clinics and talk about what each instrument does, because you will capture somebody's attention. You may not get too many, but somebody in there is going to hear that, and it's going to influence the rest of their lives. And I think if you can just get to one, you've done well, and I really, really want to do that.
This is so interesting because in the past couple of days, another publication has been brought to my attention, and I've got to pass it along to you because you're just talking about this. There is a new magazine called Jazzed, J-A-Z-Z-E-D, and it's especially for jazz music educators to try to get to kids to teach them jazz.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know about that.
It's
never
based
heard of
in
that.
The UK. It's
okay.
New.
Oh,
it's
wow.
based
okay.
in the United
okay.
Kingdom, and there's actually a Facebook page. I saw it actually in paper form at Barnes & Noble the other day. It was $10 to buy it, and I didn't buy it.
Right.
But it's especially for endeavors like this, EC. How cool
okay.
is that?
I will look that up as well. I'm going to look up Jeffrey Osborne, and this will be another one I made a note of. I will look it up and see what's going on. I'm taking my notes, Trish.
And then you also have iTrackIAS.com. You have to look up
that
too.
Oh yeah, I got that too. Right here. Yes. Oh yeah, I got my notes right here. I'm on. I got to say, it's always a learning experience. I feel like I'm in school when I talk to you, so I'm learning.
Oh, believe me, honey. Oh my God, I feel like old as the hills now. It's okay though. It's okay.
Oh no, but, no, you don't have to be old to teach. Oh no. You can learn from a child.
Well, this is true, and you and I both know if we ever stop being students, we're lost.
To be. And nothing more attractive than a knowledgeable person. Nothing more in the world.
Well, because you know where someone's passion is. Can you imagine going through life with no passion? What kind of a life is that?
I can't even begin to imagine what that would be like. No.
I mean, there would be no EC3 music, and then what would we do?
That's right. You know what, speaking of that, before we go, there's a young lady that's a good friend of yours, and I think she lives in Baltimore. I know she's a fan and friend of yours, and I hate to mispronounce her name, but is it Micaiah, something like that?
Micah Chevalier.
Micah, that's how you pronounce it?
Micah
vocalist,
Chevalier.
Right?
She's what?
She's a vocalist.
She is one of the best vocalists ever. She's going, I'm going to play something from her. She will close the show today because I've got something special picked out. She is absolutely breathtaking, and she and her friend Brian Christopher teamed up to do a song. EC, it is on top of the soul charts in the UK, but she's also a consummate jazz singer.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I heard something that she did, and I think we chatted online one time. I hope she's going to be in the house when I come to Baltimore. I hope she's going to be there. I haven't spoken with her, and I don't even know her. I think we chatted online, but I hope that she's going to be in the house because I have a project that, you know, this next recording that I'm talking about. For some reason, what I heard when I listened to a song that she did, her voice sounded perfect for something that I need. So if she happens to be in the house, I'm probably going to have to get her up on stage. So I hope that she'll be there.
Well, let me tell you something. She's listening to the show today.
Wonderful. Okay, maybe she. Okay, I hope. Okay, great. Well, great.
Yes.
I apologize about mispronouncing her name. I just wasn't sure.
Oh no, that's okay. And funny you should mention that because her dad was one of the premier musical figures in the Washington, D.C. area back in the day, and they're going to have a big reunion at Club 347 tomorrow night.
Club 347? Now, is that a jazz club? Or?
It's jazz, et cetera. This little, divey, wonderful place at 347 Calvert Street, directly across from Mercy Hospital. And you got to find parking. There's the Jones Falls Expressway overpass. You got to park underneath that. But when that place is jumping, ain't nothing like it.
Wow. Okay.
It'll be jumping tomorrow night. So if you're going to be in the area, you might want to slip on over because you'll meet Micah there tomorrow night.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, I won't be in Baltimore tomorrow night.
Okay.
I will be there Thursday morning at 6 a.m., but I won't be
there. Oh, my God.
I know. I'll be there early Thursday morning, but only for a couple of hours, and then I'm right back out. And then I'm back Friday. And then I'm actually staying there Friday and Saturday. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm actually staying. I think they're putting me up somewhere at the West End or somewhere like that in Baltimore. I'll be there for the weekend. So yeah,
wonderful.
But anyway, yeah, I just wanted I heard her do something, and I make notes all the time, and I made a note of what I heard her do, and when I heard it, it rang a bell in terms of something that I'm planning to record very soon.
I will send you a link that Micah did with our friend Daoud Saeed on piano.
Okay.
It's just Micah and Daoud, voice
please
and piano. They do in a sentimental mood. Get ready.
That's the song. That's the one I heard her do. That's it.
That's the one you heard.
That was it. That's it.
Okay.
Yes, that's it. That's it. I remember. Now that you said the title, I haven't written in my notebook, but that, yeah, In a Sentimental Mood, that was it.
Okay,
yep.
Well,
so
then.
We're on the same, we're on the same wavelength here, Trish. That's exactly the song that I heard her do. That's exactly what I heard. Yes.
Okay, well
that's
great.
That's exactly
well,
what I heard.
Let's see if we can get Micah to come swing by on Sunday, because she would love to meet you, I'm sure.
Please make your reservations, people. Please make
yes.
They keep stressing me about that at the restaurant. Please
okay.
make your reservations. Don't try to just walk up at the door. Please make your reservations.
Right, because it gets a little tricky when it's a size like this, and it's a nice size, and it's definitely going to sell out. But, yeah, you can't come to a place in Little Italy and say, oh, I'm here.
Right. They've. I mean, I can't tell you. They sent me several emails saying, just please tell your people. Because they're calling. She's like, just make sure you tell them. Because people are calling, checking on the show times and all that. And I guess a lot of people plan on just walking up at the door. And this is not a walk up at the door kind of place. So
we'll
just
make
call
sure.
And make your reservation. Yes, just make your reservation.
We'll stress that for sure.
Cool. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know that you're not about to get away without me playing a third song. This is another song that we have not played before now, and we waited for you to be here. Got to play Mambo In.
that actually is the one that's really moving up the charts. It's doing extremely well.
That's
that is
great.
The one that actually is doing better than everything, all the tracks. That one people have seemed to, a lot of stations have picked as their favorite.
Wonderful. I love to hear that.
I think it just makes you want to dance. I think that's why.
Oh, well, not only that, but we know, those of us who know EC3 understand fully how you love the rhythm.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the rhythm, Trish. It's all about the rhythm. That's it.
It is.
That's what I live for.
And guess what? Guess what? Micah just sent me a message. By the way, I'm on vacation starting this weekend. She's going to be there at Germano's this Sunday.
Oh, that is wonderful then. You just let Miss Micah know to be prepared then, because I'm going to need to hear her.
Okay. Yes, we like that. All right, very good.
Oh, yes. And In a Sentimental Mood will be a beautiful composition to perform with her that night. That'll be great.
Oh, my God. She would absolutely love that. Well,
that's
when you
happen,
hear
Trish,
her.
It's guaranteed, Trish. It's going to happen.
Look. There's no question that these moments don't come by accident. You and
right.
she are going to click for sure.
Okay, I'm so looking. I mean, I remember listening to her do that song, and I sat back and went, wow, who is this? And I didn't even know who she was at that time. But then I saw her name on your page one time, and I saw some kind of dialogue where you all were talking back and forth or something, and I said, okay, I'm going to have to ask Trish about this young lady. And so now I'm doing it. Now I'm coming to Baltimore, so the pieces of the puzzle – once again, are falling in place.
She is a sassy, sexy, sweet little Creole girl, and you are going to just fall in love.
Well, she's going to have a lot of support on stage. I'm coming in with a killing band. The music will be killing that night, and we plan on blowing Baltimore away, so it's going to be on.
All right, then.
You know how we do it, Trish. We couldn't keep you contained the last time. We couldn't keep you in the seat. So you already know what's going to be happening.
I was this close to calling the fire department that night.
Oh, yeah, that Afro-Cuban stuff and the Latin stuff. Oh, yeah, it's going to definitely be on
Woo.
In Baltimore.
My God, my leg is going right now thinking about that.
You are
You are. And we will see you at Germano's Trattoria on Sunday.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much for your time, Trish.
Absolutely. Thank you, EC. I love you.
Take care. I love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is EC3. Got to play this song because now he done flung a craven on me. Mambo In from It's All About the Rhythm on Hybrid Jazz.
Cha-cha-cha!
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Wondering what this world's about. I know a place that has the answer. It's a place where no one dies. It's a land where no one cries. And good vibrations always greet you. For the secret of his land,
Show you the way.
Isn't that crazy? 12 minutes of some reverential ear candy right there. I was going to say Bliss, but we played that song by Carenza Gray. Actually, we played something from Carenza's Bliss CD. This is another vocalist entirely, Esther Satterfield. Whew! From 1973 and Chuck Mangione's exquisite Land of Make-Believe with the Hamilton, Ontario Philharmonic Orchestra. You know, the last time we checked on Esther Satterfield, Chuck Mangione, God bless him, he is 72 now? Checked on his age, yes. And he's doing his thing, God bless. We know more about Chuck and what he's doing than Esther Satterfield. The last time that I looked any information up, and I got it confirmed with three different sources, Esther, who had had... three albums out, including this one. She is now Esther Jordan. She had six children. She's in Maryland. She's a widow. And she retired from the music industry. But what she gave us in those three projects, just mind-blowing. This is a favorite song of more people than I care to tell you about. Just one of those magic songs. When you hear that voice, time stops. It really does. Just beautiful. Had to do it today just because of the sheer joy of EC3 being on the show. We heard, too, Pancho Sanchez from 2005. Short Dog, the name of the tune from Do It. Oh, this is quite a guy. Just at the DC Jazz Festival at the Hamilton in the past several days. And really amazing when you consider the background of Pancho Sanchez. There's certainly an affinity to EC3, and that's the first track that you heard in this three-song set from It's All About the Rhythm. We heard Mambo In. Had to play something with a similar vibe right after that. So here's Pancho, who was born in Texas, one of 11 children, family moved to L.A., absolutely immersed in varying kinds of music when he's in L.A. John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Wilson Pickett, Mongo Santa Maria, Afro-Cuban on one hand, loving that, and bebop on the other. self-taught in guitar, flute, drums, and then he focused on congas. Got work with Cal Jader from 1975 to Cal's passing in 1982. And Pancho will still tell you he considers Cal the world's greatest vibes player. This particular album, Do It! Exclamation point, featured Hugh Masekela and some of the folks from Tower of Power. So it's one of those really splendid projects that people seem to gravitate to. Pancho Sanchez. And EC3, once again, thanks, EC, for your time. It's all about the rhythm and Mambo In. Had a tough time picking those tracks today. It's getting to be that way more and more often these days. Got to play another three-song set, and thank you for joining us, Yolanda and Matt Williams. And we haven't seen Pete Gitlin for a while. Pete, it's nice to have you here. So nice. And Griselda, who's been here from the beginning of the show. We're missing our BJ. She's at work now full-time. It's good that folks are finding work, but it's sad that people can't be in the chat room as much because things are happening in the way of employment. This is good. Somebody who will never have to worry about employment again is David Benoit. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot keep up with this master of the keyboard. Not only doing his thing on piano, but being part of a radio station and also conducting. This is something breathtaking from Conversation, his most recent work. This is called Napa Crossroads Overture on Hybrid Jazz.
is hybrid jazz.
You can say you love me, but do you really mean it when you say you do? I don't know what love really means to you at all. Everybody has their own way to love someone they think.
I couldn't think of a better way to end the show today. Whew! Two songs back-to-back, both called Forgiveness. That from Micah Chevalier, who was discussed with absolute love today by EC3. Trish, I think there's a friend of yours. Is her name Micah? Yeah. So out of that, we worked out that Micah and I will both be at Germano's to see EC3 on Sunday. That's awesome. This song, Forgiveness, written by Dr. William Smith and arranged by him. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, from Micah's Rue project, Rue's Fantasy, back in 2008. And seriously, Micah has not stopped since then. If you heard me tell EC3, this is the story. I checked out starpointradio.com in the UK, and this was as of June the 12th, but Micah's release with Brian Christopher in The Groove was number 3 on the charts. That's pretty awesome. And it looks as though there are new projects aplenty coming from Miss Micah. And if there wasn't before today, there will be after. This is just great. Oh, and then before Micah, we heard Brian Bromberg and his Forgiveness from Compared to That from a year ago. I remember that when we were doing an interview with Brian Bromberg on Cool Jazz Conversations, Brian clearly said that this was his favorite song. We all said in the chat room that we felt it. When you know that something is written with intent like that, you can really feel it, can't you? Just amazing. Guess we all have to start playing the music soon. Here we go. I got my finger on the trigger here. Listen, about Brian Bromberg, BassOnTheBroadband.com is doing very well. That is his particular radio endeavor for all electric and acoustic bass players. So that's in play. Also, starting in June, he's going to be giving Skype bass lessons. You might want to figure out BrianBromberg.net and look up some more information. David Benoit, Napa Valley Overture from Conversation, recording career since 1977. Listen to what he's doing now. On K-Jazz and part of the summer benefit concert happening in a few days. Also part of the Asian America Symphony Orchestra. He's conducting. He's going to be with Hiroshima at an event on the 29th. He has just finished Journey of the Endeavor, a tribute to the space shuttle. He's got a lot of stuff that's happening currently, a lot of stuff in the works. DavidBenoit.com has more information. We are going to see you Thursday with Jerry B. from Sound Doctrine, the CEO of his own company and the person who puts together the Youngstown, Ohio Jazz Festival, starring this year Kirk Whalum. Jerry B. will be with us on Thursday right here on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks to everybody who came by today. Got some love in the house. Woohoo! Thank you to all. God bless you, and we'll see you on Thursday on Hyper Jazz.